Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's the audio experience. Like we always start when we do these shows, it's been a long time, but I am Jeremy, and if you know the audio experience, you know the other person is Dusty Giebink. And hello and Merry Christmas, Dusty.
Well, howdy ho, Ranger Joe. It's Merry Christmas time. And
Yep.
How are you feeling today? You're very happy about your phone service, I understand.
Yeah. Well, and we sent out some other audios. Verizon Wireless sucks a dick. It's just awful. We actually got on the phone, what, 2:45 roughly Eastern?
Yeah.
To try and record this.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this for a while.
Yeah, 30 minutes at least. And Verizon keeps kicking me off and then not letting me go through when you call the same number that you were just on. It's just an awful network. And this is what I do for a living, so I know it's their problem. It's just disgustingly bad. I never had any problems with T-Mobile, man. Just never had a drop call. Nothing.
No.
Whatever. You fucking idiot. yeah. I don't know. What a great Christmas Eve edition.
Yeah, we're starting out
like
on the right foot here. Definitely.
That's all right. Right before we got on, since we didn't record any of it, we were talking about college football real fast, and I know it's not wrestling, but whatever. If you never listen to the show, our version of the show, there's very little actual, there's wrestling talk, but it's not going to be topical, so,
right.
Whatever.
Right. The only thing that's changed over the years is that we used to sound like we were speaking into a tin can to each other, like our first several episodes. Really sounded terrible, sounded like we were talking into a tin can, and now we sound like we're talking into a $10 tin can, so
yeah,
a little bit of an upgrade.
I was going to say
there.
Even more unreliable tin can.
Yeah, and more unreliable, a little bit better sound, so.
Dude, have you ever gone back to listen to that first show?
Yeah, I have. I didn't make it.
Oh. It's impossible to make it through that show, besides just not being good, but then the audio quality, holy shit, man. It was like somebody was crinkling tinfoil behind each one of us the entire time.
I know, and I have no idea why that is. Like, I can't remember what the hell we were doing different, but even if the sound isn't perfect, that was still a rancid show, just content-wise and everything. So,
yeah. Well, the problem was, it was before we had these recording means of doing it. So remember, I was taking my cell phone, I had it on speaker, and I had a microphone hooked up to the computer to record it.
That's right! I remember now. Yeah.
How fucking rinky-dink is that?
That's terrible, dude. No wonder it sounded
I get embarrassed just explaining. I can feel my face turn red a little bit from embarrassment just admitting that. Oh, my God.
It's been years since then. Now it's okay to admit that. But
I'm just thinking now, why the hell didn't one of us just Google it? Or me more importantly, because I was the one that was set to record it. Like, I couldn't take 10 minutes to Google something. Oh, well.
We could have asked,
God.
How do you do it? I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, no, trust me. I did put it out there asking how to record stuff, and we all know how that usually goes. So.
Oh. He didn't respond? What?
Yeah, so whatever. We were talking about college football, and of course, Ohio State was wherever Jim Tressel goes, people get suspended. And they've avoided people getting suspended for years now. I mean, they had Maurice Claret, who for all intents and purposes should have been off that team. But then finally, five of their starters all got busted, apparently. Have they said why?
I
keep seeing is the crawl on ESPN. So.
Right. Yeah, that's all I've seen. But I argued with just a slight sense of irony that in college football, you need players walking that edge, you know, that criminal edge, in order to be successful. I mean, look at how many arrests good teams have had lately. It just seems like the best systems have criminals, you know? And that kind of weeds itself out as you get to the pros, but you know, look at Cam Newton playing in the championship game, you know? It's just, it seems like that's the thing. So I would argue it's kind of a good thing for Ohio State. It means they have good players.
If you got pinstripes underneath your uniform, no, the pinstripes or prison stripes? Same thing, I guess.
Yeah.
If they're under the uniform, then you know you're doing good. So,
that's right.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at, I actually pulled up ESPN here, and they basically sold, like, trophies and awards that they were given.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell Pryor sold his Big Ten championship ring from 2008, his 2009 Fiesta Bowl Sportsmanship Award, 2008 Gold Pants.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he sold the Gold Pants? I mean, everyone knows I'm a Michigan fan, but I know that's taken very seriously.
Yeah,
the Gold Pants, for those who don't know, are awarded for the Michigan-Ohio State game by Ohio State.
Yep.
So, wow, what a... Oh, you always knew Pryor was a selfish guy anyway, so, you know, it's just whatever, but...
Right.
Yeah. And then, of course, they have Kirk Herbstreit about it, because they say he's a college football analyst, but remember, he's also an Ohio State alum and quarterback.
Okay.
And this is probably my favorite quote. He says, "The suspension is an addition by subtraction." Cliches. And
yeah,
Ohio State,
are you
going to
give us some good analysis? Are you going to give us some good analysis, or are you just going to stay on cliche.com? You know, come on.
Yeah, well, you know, on paper, that sounds like a good quote. I mean, I'm sure he gave it his all. He left it all out there.
Well, you know, you got to give 110% every time you go out there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is my favorite line. And it goes, after the addition by subtraction, and Ohio State can get back to focusing on being a team. What are you fucking talking about?
Wait a minute.
He isn't, they didn't say expert. Okay, good. Because, you know, ESPN likes to throw out everyone's an expert now. So... Yeah, it's just embarrassing.
Like Joe Morgan was the baseball expert.
Yeah. You know what? I forgot to ask you about that. What do you feel about Larry Miller and old Joe Morgan getting the boot?
I'm ecstatic about it. Joe Morgan is one of the best players of all time, but he calls baseball games like he's never seen the sport in his life. He has no idea. He's the most clueless announcer ever, and I'm ecstatic that he's finally gone. I mean, all the hard work that the people at FireJoeMorgan.com did finally paid off.
Hated Larry Miller, but Joe Morgan, oh boy.
There were times
and he's a Hall of
when
Famer,
it seemed
too.
Like Miller was just totally exasperated. So I bet he's happy to be back in San Francisco and away from that madness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also getting to be... Larry Miller's not exactly... Wait, it's Larry Miller, right? I didn't say that right. Right?
John Miller?
Yeah. Is it John Miller? God, no, Larry Miller's a comic. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Whatever. Fuck him. He ain't working at ESPN, so... But yeah.
And he was replaced.
Yeah, sorry, just...
by Bobby Valentine's mustache, so that's a good thing. Bobby Valentine.
That's still one of my
mustache.
Favorite. Yeah, that's still one of my favorite things to ever happen. He gets booted out of a game, comes back with a glasses and a mustache. Man, that's just great.
Did you ever hear the whole story on that? Because he told the whole story on the Levitard show.
No.
Okay. Real briefly, a little while before that game, They fired his entire coaching staff. So basically, they had a bunch of guys in the coaching staff he didn't really trust. So he got thrown out of the game, and he's sitting in the clubhouse, and Robin Ventura's in there. And you're talking about, like, well, replacements, changes that needed to be made yet in the game. And he's like, you know, I don't really know if I trust these guys to make the right changes. And Robin Ventura's like, well, you got to get back out there. So they came up with the mustache thing. And so he comes back out there, and nobody saw him at first until Robin Ventura's like, ah, you know, pointing at him, right? And then somebody hits a home run, and his dumbass runs out onto the field to give him a high five, you know? So by that time, he's totally outed. So, anyway.
Wow. So basically, the guy who, like, explained, or I don't want to say coerced, because that's not the right word.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who came up with the idea is also the one that blew it for him.
That's
pretty funny, actually.
Although it would have been blown anyway, because there's cameras all over during a baseball game. So you have to believe that eventually he would have been outed anyway, just by basis of camera.
Oh, yeah. That I don't doubt, which would have been even funnier if they wouldn't have noticed it during the game. They would have only noticed it, like, the next day.
Yeah, that's right.
But
wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got suspended pretty good for that, didn't he?
He did.
Like 5 games, something like that?
So I was praying that he would have come to Milwaukee when they were hiring a new manager. I love that guy.
Now, who's Milwaukee's manager? I don't remember.
They hired Ron Roenicke or whatever from the Angels. That'll get things done.
I remember him. All right. All right. So this is my horrible segue, but this is something I've been meaning to ask you. I keep forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're talking about coaches, here goes the wrestling part.
Nice. Perfect.
We were talking about Mr. Perfect. We were talking about coaching. You mentioned just like when we were talking about blowing whistles. That's what the new Miami coach is going to do.
Yeah,
but,
he's just blowing his whistle at people. Yeah.
Well, here's my thing, and then you mentioned just like, you know, the coach with Mr. Perfect.
Yep.
When I was watching that, I thought Mr. Perfect, his act was, you know, just fine the way it was.
Okay.
Then they added coach in there. I don't know the history behind this, and I don't understand why they did it. You've got way more knowledge of this time period of WWE history than I do.
Okay.
Do you remember what was going on there? Because he came in and came out just with no fanfare. I mean,
right.
They got rid of him and that was it. He came in and it was like, whatever. Do you remember what was going on then?
Well, keep in mind, Mr. Perfect was managed by Bobby Heenan. WrestleMania 7, he was managed by Heenan, and a little bit after that, he's managed by Heenan. Heenan eventually stopped managing until Flair came in, right? So he was just being an announcer at the time. So basically, it was one of those deals where he essentially sold Perfect's contract to Coach, just like Fuji sold Barbarian and Warlord to Heenan and Flick. So that's the deal there. And then, if I remember right, Coach managed Perfect for like 5 seconds and then managed the Beverly Brothers right before the Beverly Brothers got switched to the Genius. So Coach had 2 managing stints and they both lasted about 5 seconds. Why? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I just thought that was a weird. I mean, Heenan and Mr. Perfect made sense to me. I mean, because, you know, it was Bobby. He was all, I mean, I was about to say it's all about glitz with him, but it was all about money and, you know, winning.
Yeah.
But then this coach guy, they gave, like, Mr. Perfect, and I know his name's kind of a goofy gimmick, but they gave Curt Hennig this goofy coach gimmick. I mean, manager. I mean, it didn't make sense. It didn't jive at all.
Like, if
you're Mr. Perfect,
like,
you should
be the person that Mr. Perfect would associate with.
Yeah, I mean, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been like, "What do you? You're gonna coach me? No." Or I mean, if you want to put it in WWF terms at that time, you'd be like, "Well, who the hell are you to try and coach me? What are you talking about?"
Right.
Yeah, I never understood that. Now I figured you'd have some insight on it to just not
why
me,
they were put together. I don't know. I think they just somebody fell in love with the coach thing, and I don't know. You know. But he was turf so.
That was a weird time period.
He was turf so quickly, you got to believe he pissed somebody off or something, you know?
Yeah, that especially, or maybe they realized, holy shit, what are we doing here?
They pulled the plug, yeah. Yeah, but why wouldn't he last it with the Beverly Brothers, though, you know?
Because I didn't see the Beverly Brothers. I guess it was a clash of gimmicks.
Yeah.
The Beverly Brothers, to me, the genius part with, like, him, you know, that's a hard thing to say, actually. I was about to say, I didn't mean it this way, but the genius part of putting them together,
yeah,
like the genius in the Beverly Brothers, that always seemed fluid. That's the word I'm looking for. That seemed fluid. Like Bobby Heenan and Kurt Hennig and Mr. Perfect.
I'm realizing now that both Coach and the genius manage the same people.
They
both manage
the
perfect. And both
really?
Manage, yeah.
Wow. I had no idea. My history frame of reference is really bad for that time period.
Mm.
Anyway, I'll just brush up on it someday. All right. Well, yeah, I wasn't meaning to ask you that when we were doing these shows. I mean, it's not like I'm going to bring up in casual conversation. Oh, yeah, by the way, and you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, you know, that's how it works.
Well, that was a little bit before I started getting Wrestling Tribune and started knowing things. And by the way, that made me really popular in school. Knowing what was going to happen before it happened, that, or at least having like an inkling, that made me real popular with all the wrestling fans. But 91, I still didn't have
make
a...
me... Well, see, it didn't make me like real popular or whatever. But it was fun when all our friends would get together for pay-per-view matches. Or,
mm-hmm.
For pay-per-view, and they'd be like, "Yeah, well, he's gonna win," and I'm just sitting there going, "No, he ain't. There's not a chance in hell he's winning." So,
right.
A bunch of girls we hung out with loved the Hart Foundation. It was SummerSlam where the Nazis beat him for the title. Or was it the Road Warriors? One or two.
Well, the Nats beat the Hart Foundation at WrestleMania 7.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that was it. Yeah, not SummerSlam. My bad.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So they were all giddy, and I didn't have the heart to tell them. So they were getting all excited, and I'm like, you know, they're not gonna win, right? I'm like, no, I'm wrong. Like, no, they're not gonna win. So sorry. But. You know, as I was saying that, I realized how totally uninteresting that was. So,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
one year.
Let's get into some
Okay, real quick.
No, go ahead.
The year Test lasted a long time in the Royal Rumble. I don't remember what year that was. Like, I just figured Test would get eliminated right away because he's fucking Test. So I was messing with him, and I told him that Test was going to win this year. And at first they were all like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Why would Test win? But then they started thinking about it. Well, he knows. So Test. Maybe they're trying to push Test now. And then he lasts forever, right? And the longer he lasts, the more pissed they're getting at me, you know? So that was a terrible year for me.
What do you remember what Rumble that was? Because I remember it lasted a while and having the reaction like, why is Test still in this thing?
Yeah.
Was that the
exactly.
Okay.
I don't remember what year. I'm going to look it up or try to here. But you know exactly which one I mean, right? He just lasted so long for no good reason.
Yeah, well, he was part of the corporate. He was part of the corporation, though, wasn't he? At that time, he was a bad guy, wasn't he?
I don't remember that.
I mean, I know it's Test, so inherently this is an uninteresting topic because it's Test. But, by the way, for those who listened and haven't listened to the show, because of the audio that was posted, the MST3K version of the 92 Rumble, right? I don't have my computer in front of me. I'm too lazy.
Like that,
the one you and Eric and Dan did.
Wait a minute. Becky,
that
I'm
thing
doing an audio.
Wait, what?
She's tapping on me for something, and I had to tell her I'm doing an audio. But the cat? Is the cat dying? Saba? She's having a seizure behind the couch. That's great. We're live here on the audio.
Oh, hey, I can let you go if you need to.
Nope, that's fine. That's fine. 2003, he lasted 20 minutes. So that's probably the one.
Jesus Christ. Hey, what I was saying earlier when Becky was talking to you, I hope you heard me.
Go ahead.
The audio show you guys did, what year was that Royal Rumble? Was that 92, right? The one Flair won?
Yep.
94? Okay.
92.
It's, this is the part that made the entire show for me. You guys are talking, and it's down to, like, Hogan and Sid and all that stuff. And you guys are talking about, I can't remember the exact conversation, but all of a sudden, you yell out, "Ha ha, bitch, get out of there," or something like that.
Yes.
It was when Hogan got eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to it at work, and I was in tears because you already knew it was coming. Everyone knows who won this match already. The fact that you were that excited again to see Hulk Hogan get eliminated.
Absolutely.
Just,
I'm not ashamed of that at all.
Yeah. Nor should you be. I mean, that amount of venom for an old event, it's pretty much the amount of venom I have for John Cena right now.
Okay. You are the king of the segues. Look at you.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
But I did want to mention that because I was laughing. You weren't on Messenger yet. I was talking to Eric about it. And I was like, Dusty's mad over an angle that six years. Dusty still has those feelings after 16 years of knowing the outcome, which is, I think, just a great grudge to hold.
Well, 2 points about
my
this thing before I let you move on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go on.
Sid is a good guy at this point. He hadn't turned heel yet. Ric Flair is a heel. Hogan helped the heel eliminate the face. And we're supposed to cheer him? How does that make any sense? All Sid was doing was trying to win the title. Point number
it's
two.
Every man for
it's every man for himself. In 1991, Hogan eliminated Tugboat, and they were supposed to be best friends at the time. It's not anything new. Point number two, what a sore loser. What a fucking sore loser. Again, how are we supposed to cheer that? He's supposed to be a role model. He's a fucking terrible loser. You know, he should have just been like, well, Sid got the best of me this time. You know?
Yep. I always thought that was, when I watched that, I always thought that was a slow tease of Hogan turning bad.
Yes. And it should have been.
And that's what it seemed like. And wasn't it the next, this was during the Sergeant Slaughter time, right? No, that wasn't it.
No,
yeah, it was.
No, Slaughter had already turned.
No. Yep, my bad. But then they announced the next week that Sid Vicious, wasn't this how it went? It was like 2 weeks later that they announced that Hulk Hogan was going to get the title shot at WrestleMania instead of Sid.
Yes.
Okay.
With the infamous standing up, ready to accept the award, and then having a heart attack when it was Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Which was classic.
And as a fan back then, that was impossible not to feel like, well, wait a minute, Sid deserved it. He won the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And he didn't win the Royal Rumble, but the guy he tossed out is...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and this was strictly from a fan perspective. I mean, this is really way before... I mean,
Sid eliminated Hogan, and he was the last one in. And they had to cheat to eliminate Sid, so logically it should have been Flair versus Sid.
Yeah, and then they had the whole thing where they switched the main event, so it was Randy Savage versus Flair and Hogan versus Sid.
Yep.
And then that the weird ending with Papa Shango, of all people.
I know,
and then
right?
The Warrior making his stunning return. Yeah.
You know your roster's in trouble when Papa Shango's in the main event angle.
Well, the best part, though, was I had to go. I missed the main event. And, I mean, I figured, you know, Hogan's going to win. I don't care. Well, I had to go to my Sunday school or catechism, they call it for the Catholics, and they had it Sunday night. So, I mean, that was 94. What the fuck was I doing? I got pulled away from the event regardless. And...
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, yeah, Papa Shango ran in at the end because of this. I'm like, who the fuck is Papa Shango? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, then the Ultimate Warrior returned. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. Okay. But wait a minute, who the fuck is Papa Shango?
Right.
I'm like, this is retarded. I was like, well, Hogan lost, though, right? Or Hogan won, though, right? He's like, he lost, it was by disqualification. I'm like, huh? I mean, they have nothing better planned for that? I mean, this is the Hoosier Dome, baby. Come on.
I know, right?
Ugh. What a mess. And it's just funny. It's like talking about this stuff and then just going, it's no better now.
Right.
I don't know. See, I got into an argument on Facebook. I know, I'm a fucking teenager. But I just put, it was after Monday's Raw. Right after CM Punk attacked John Cena, I say attacked, but he hit him with a chair and walked off.
Yes.
And John Cena stood up immediately afterwards and asked him out.
Yep.
And I mean, I've been bitching on audios, and I know it's passe, it's old news, but John Cena's just the worst, man.
Yep.
I mean, Hulk Hogan did all of his shit behind the scenes.
Right.
When someone attacked him on TV, you felt like someone attacked Hulk Hogan on TV. And I always go back to Hogan because that's what they're trying to make John Cena out to be.
Yes.
That's what they want John Cena to be. And, I mean, to disagree, I mean, you really don't know your history of that. I mean, look at what Hogan did. Going to the different charity events. I mean, they're always bragging John Cena up on these, like 200 Make-A-Wish things, whatever.
Right.
They got him in shitty movies, just like Hulk Hogan got in his shitty movies.
Yep.
I mean, John Cena's lost more than Hulk Hogan, obviously, but he still doesn't, but he doesn't show ass at all, or Hulk Hogan did. I mean, Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, I mean, Sergeant Slaughter got the best of him for a little bit. I mean,
also,
but
not
no
everything
one ever
was a joke to Hulk Hogan.
That's exactly it. I have been trying to figure out what it is. That's exactly it.
Everything is ha-ha with John Cena. Nothing's serious.
That is exactly it.
Yep.
God damn it. We should have done these months ago, and I would have been able to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is a joke to him. Everybody he wrestles is a joke to him.
Yep.
Now he tries to act serious with Randy Orton or Ed. That was it.
Yep.
But then I watched the clip of him and Batista going back and forth. But even his sincerity is always, I gave my life to this business. I do this for this business. I'm like, that's just so disingenuous.
Yeah.
And then, so he gets in the ring with somebody like Wade Barrett, like an up-and-coming guy like Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Dolph Ziggler on top of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they went through a, chairs match. And even going back to 2 weeks ago, John Cena got hit, got beat down by Nexus. And then Wade Barrett hit him over the back with a chair. Now, this isn't the Attitude Era where a chair to the back didn't do anything.
Right.
This is now where a chair to the back is supposed to take you out. And
yep.
he was back on the show 30 minutes later like nothing happened.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
No, everything's a joke. There's no sincerity to anything he does. There's no seriousness, nothing. And it's just appalling.
Now, Hogan
Hogan
was over the top and cartoonish, but it was all serious.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd refer to Elizabeth as, like, lovely Elizabeth, let me tell you something, you know, and, like, Million Dollar Man was multi-million dollar man, you know, and it was all cartoon and stuff. But he was serious about what he was saying, you know?
Yep. Well, that's why I'm glad you brought Million Dollar Man, because that was going to be my example. They had that ridiculously stupid angle where DiBiase was going to buy the championship, as if that would work. And even as a kid, you knew Hulk Hogan wasn't going to sell the belt. You just knew he wasn't going to, all right? But he brought up, and he emoted. He had the history behind his character of being totally serious, sincerity. I mean, playing to the audience, making the audience seem like he cares about him without going, I love the WWE Universe.
Right.
Yeah. So when he said, no, I'm not selling the belt, even as a non-Hulk Hogan fan, I was like, wow, he's not going to sell the belt? You know, you knew the whole goddamn time he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
Now, if they had something like this with John Cena, they'd be like, well, I'm going to buy the belt off you. He'd be like, well, I don't know, man. That's a lot of money and everything. So, what do you guys think, huh? And we'd be like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, you suck.
Yep.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, so fuck him. And then, of course, as I say this, on SmackDown Tuesday, CM Punk attacked him again, did the exact same thing again, and this time Cena sold it like he got hit with a rocket to the chest.
Right, same thing. Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I've ever seen John Cena actually, like, really look like he was legitimately hurt by something.
Right.
So I'm like, well, now, what am I supposed to do now? Because he actually did something right, finally. And then I went back to the same fuck him, I don't care. I mean, that's going to be the moment of the feud. That was CM Punk's first and only time he's going to get over in this feud.
Now, that brings me to this point. I don't think I've talked to you about this. The Patrick Ewing theory.
Oh, God. Yes, you mentioned this.
Okay.
But I kept telling you, you got to change your analogy to baseball or hockey or something. But stick with Patrick Ewing because I'm familiar with this one now.
All right, very good player. You go very far, but you never win a championship with him. Then for whatever reason, you get rid of him, you trade him, he leaves as a free agent. Your team is suddenly better without him. That can apply to any sport or anything, really. Do you think John Cena going to TNA? First of all, I don't think it would hurt WWE one bit. But don't you think they might get better without him?
Okay, I'll address the first part. I think it hurt him in the short term.
Okay.
Okay, like, all right, just for example-wise, if he were to leave today, all right, for whatever reason, he finally got caught, you know, peddling out on some kid.
Right.
If he left today, I would say, you know, it would affect him. Just because it's WrestleMania season. This is the time of year for WWE to get their shit together and give you, you know, an actual good show. If it was after WrestleMania,
I don't think the debt would be that severe. Sure, he makes some merchandise money. Yeah, he's always available for appearances, but it sure seems to me that if they wanted to, they could turn the Miz face. And this kid clearly relishes the spotlight. I mean, he wins a championship, he's everywhere. I mean, he's all over the place.
Right.
So he clearly doesn't mind doing the personal appearances at John Cena. You know, they always praise John Cena for always going out and doing this and this and this. Well, the Miz doesn't seem to mind doing that.
That's
you
right.
got a fresh face in Evan Bourne. I mean, and I know he's small, but he's got like the boyish, rugged good looks, if you want to put it that way. Another
yep.
face you can put on WWE, the
right.
clean cut face. That kind of mirroring John Cena, or mirroring John Cena. I mean, you've got the cartoonist Rey Mysterio still. Kids still love him.
Mm-hmm.
One that this could be, and this is all in the context of not having John Cena around. One guy that I think could turn face and would make them money just because of his heritage is Alberto Del Rio.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's got the movie star. He's got like a movie star kind of quality to him.
Yeah.
He can talk. He carries himself well. So being from Mexico as well, you're going to tap in to that entire fan base that's in this country, in Mexico itself. That's a huge, I think, potentially untapped market for WWE. They go to Mexico every once in a while, but not nearly as much as they could.
Right.
So, but no. And then the second part, though, and you already know what's going to be said, is it's TNA. It doesn't matter if John Cena goes there or not.
Yeah. Absolutely no one going to TNA means anything.
Well, TNA, but also John Cena's fan base of 5 to 10 year olds, and that's not a joke. I mean, all right, 5 to 14 year olds. We'll give it that way.
Right.
They don't watch TNA.
That's right.
Yeah. So I bet most of the younger fans of them are chicks that dig them. They have no clue TNA exists.
Right.
So. I mean, I can't remember what TNA wrestler even said it, that people will come up to him at conventions or see him and go, hey, what happened to you? You're not wrestling for WWE anymore. And they're like, did you retire? And he's like, no, I wrestle for TNA. And
TNA,
of course they go, well,
that?
What's that?
And most
we've
people
been around
will
8
think
years.
It's a pornographic thing. Because
yeah.
it's such an awful
yeah.
name.
I'm doing TNA now.
Oh, my God. How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. But yeah, so no one, I think we've talked about this, no one that's gone from WWE to TNA has made a difference.
Not a bit.
Yeah. But WWE can take someone from TNA, unless you're Chris Harris, and make you
yeah.
into something. I mean,
that's right.
If they want, or if they deem it necessary. Like, not Lance Hoyt or Braden Walker, Chris Harris, whatever.
No, but
that's
you know
why
who? Like, if Brutus Magnus jumped ship, that'd be huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And he has to be chomping at the bit to get out of there.
Oh, yeah.
He's young.
I believe
I mean,
he has
like
a calendar on his wall that keeps the exact countdown. On how many days are left?
He probably has one in his tights, so if they have him losing yet another match, he just pulls his calendar out of his calendar. Going, yeah, he pulls it out of his tights. He's like, nope, another 3 more years, I'm out of this dump. the one that made no sense to me, and I know you're not going to care, is Samoa Joe resigning with TNA.
That made no sense to me whatsoever.
He's publicly called out
their booking, and yet he keeps re-signing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this is like? You know what this is like? Ric Flair from the late 90s.
Mm. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
WCW is terrible. Oh, I can't wait to go to the WWF. Oh, it's time to renew my contract. I'll sign Ric Flair right here on the line. 3 days later, oh, I can't believe I signed that contract. I got to get out of my contract. Wrestlers are stupid people. Bottom line.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing, okay? But
yeah.
Do you think he might have done that to get more money out of TNA?
At what point do you value your career over money?
Well, all right. I'm with you on that, and I agree. But I know...
He'll take care of you, you know?
Yeah, but also, Joe just had a kid, what, a couple of months ago? Like, not him physically, even though at the time probably wouldn't have been much of a shock. He has the new family or whatever. So he's got to look out for them. And then TNA's schedule, and I guess this is maybe TNA's only selling point. Their schedule is still far superior to WWE's.
Sure.
I mean, they take an entire, you know, they take all of Impact in 1 week for the entire month. And whether it's good or not is a totally different subject. But
no.
So now he's got a week of TV out of the way, and then he works Friday, Saturday for their house shows, if he's even on them, which if he's not on them, whoever runs this thing should be shot.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say that only if he was actually a top-tier player, which he's not, so I guess maybe it doesn't matter. So I can see the benefit of staying in TNA if that your sole purpose is just to provide for your family. It's no longer a passion. It's become your job, if you want to look at it that way. But if it's actually your passion, you have to go to WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, did you ever watch, was it the Rise and Fall of AWA or whatever that was called, the WWE DVD they put out?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Okay. One of the themes on the DVD was that, during the documentary, was that guys used to go to AWA because they wanted to go. They made money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Hogan left, and then this guy left, and these guys, this guy, Cena's gone. Well, then Shawn Michaels comes up, and he's like, yeah, you know, we went to AWA, and, you know, who was running it at the time? Oh, my God, Vern Gagne.
Yep.
And Vern said, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And, you know, we're going to make this the place to be. We're going to compete with WWE, and of course it's AEW, so whatever.
Sure.
And Shawn Michaels goes, yeah, we were listening, we were nodding our head, but the whole time, is we're just working so that WWF sees us and gets us out of here. So, WWE, except for the few years with WCW, you know, that's always been the place to be.
Yep. That's right.
So, and if you're Samoa Joe, you have to look at CM Punk, Evan Bourne. I mean,
yeah.
Before he got hurt, Evan was ready to take off. Even though he was still losing. Help me out. Who's some other guys? I just had it, but I lost my train of thought. Brian Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, whatever you want to call him. Daniel Bryan is the biggest star in the world than Samoa Joe is.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Daniel Bryan, but he's more out of place in WWE than Samoa Joe would ever be.
He might be the most out of place wrestler in WWE history.
Well, maybe not. No. Remember Alex the Pug Porto?
Oh, yeah. Okay. One of, anyway.
So, he's definitely top three. But I'm sure there'll be another one, but yeah. But they're making it work.
Yeah, they are.
So, I mean, it's all things like a slow. Wait, I talked over you. What'd you say?
Well, because he's different is one of the things working for Daniel. And who's more different than Samoa Joe?
Mm-hmm.
And the other key point.
Yeah, as long as they don't give him.
Go ahead.
I love when we both start talking at the same time.
It's just like old times.
It's like just two cars with screeching tires at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead. I totally lost what I was going to say. So.
Okay, well, he's another key point is that Joe is 31. He's frittering away all of his prime years in TNA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they didn't release details of the contract. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a short duration, which would be probably the smartest idea. But, I don't know, man. I was really surprised when he resigned. I thought he had a better business mind than that.
Unless he signed a contract like Donovan McNabb, which is like a 5-year contract, but there was an out clause at the end of the year. So, really, it was a 1-year contract, you know?
Not even a year.
No, it's
like a 3-month contract.
Yeah. An absolutely ridiculous contract that meant nothing. But so.
Well, that's what most NFL contracts seem to be, anyways. So
yeah.
I don't know. Wrestling has slowly started to not make any sense whatsoever. I don't know if it's just we're not the audience anymore. I mean, I wouldn't doubt if that's a big part of it, to be honest.
Right.
We're just trying to seek out something different.
Can it be argued that they're targeting kids and they don't even care about us anymore? Is that fair?
Oh, I think that's absolutely fair, and I think it's absolutely right too.
Okay.
The old time fans, and I say old time. Old time would be going back to the Attitude Generation. Okay, we're the ones that grew up with Hulk. We grew up with Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
Kind of, you know, the interest waned for a while.
Where, you know, the Dusty Rhodes and you know all those guys they perpetually name because no one can think of anybody else that was that bad. Man Mountain Rock, Fashion Booger, all those. And then got brought back into it because we got tired of the cartoons. WWE adapts their style and makes it a little more realistic, so the adults come back and are like, hell yes, turn into a big party.
Right.
And then when all the cool kids left, like Austin and Rock, it was like, all right, what do we do here? Fuck those guys. Let's placate the children now. We'll get their kids. Because these dummies have their kids, so we're going to sucker them in.
Yep.
And then people just don't know how to say no to their kids. If I had a kid and he wanted a John Cena shirt, there's no chance in the hell he'd have one. He'd have to steal it.
He'd get beaten the fuck out of, you know?
Yeah. I don't know whose shirt I'd buy him. I don't know.
Nobody.
He doesn't want a John Cena. You hear I'd get him a CM Punk shirt. Those would look kind of cool.
Right. Edge?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, you know what, Edge, and I think that's what Eric would always say is, the best merchandise is the merchandise that you don't know is wrestling merchandise.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It just looks like a t-shirt. Yep.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yep.
Devin Bourne, I like Devin Bourne. And this is really where Kevin should be on, but whatever.
Fine.
I wouldn't be giving him a Daniel Bryan one.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Terrible. Just terrible.
I was actually waiting for Kevin to post something about that, but Kevin would have gone and done like the analytical side, and then instead we got yours, and that's not a knock on yours, but I just like the straightforwardness of it. So this t-shirt is awful. Like, yeah, well,
you know, sometimes you got to call the spade a spade. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, well. But,
and by spade, I mean black person. There we go. A little racism here on the audio.
Oh, speaking of racism, this thing would make no sense. So, did you hear Kevin on the East Coast audio show? On the Torture site,
that.
He was a call-in. Okay.
Yeah.
So the white crayon
Kevin DeFranco called in. He couldn't have sounded whiter if he was splashing white paint on his face, yelling racial epithets to those guys. I was listening to that at work. And the people around me have to think I'm insane. Because I'm laughing all day. Yeah, just the shit I listen to, it keeps me cracking up all day. So,
right.
He gets out of there, the guys on that show, they're both black. In case no one's been able to figure this out yet, they're both colored gentlemen. Wait a minute, is that racist? Whatever. So they get on there, they're just talking, they're like, hey, what's going on, Columbus? Well, hey there. It was almost like a stereotypical black comedian bit.
Yeah, it is. That's
and
right.
It was that, but then it just reminded me, that whole little segment reminded me of, it was a prior bit. And it was talking about, it was the beginning of one of his shows, and he's like, there's a lot of black people in here. So I shouldn't say black people, whatever. He's like, oh, and some white people too. He's like, you got the fucking. And then he just goes into this little 5 minutes off the cuff thing about white people, and that just reminded me of Kevin. And I don't know.
Right.
The whole thing just made me remember it. If you haven't checked out any of that stuff, that old fire shit was great. So, but oh my god.
And you haven't listened to the most recent East Coast cast, Jeremy?
No, I haven't. Not this week, no.
Yeah, that's a good show, too. So everybody check that out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like those guys. They're fun. So
yeah,
have a
good
sense of humor
with
each other. Yeah. Well, they have it at the weirdest damn time. It's like 6 in the afternoon.
Very
Eastern time.
Yep.
I was like, bitches, save some money up. Make it an 8 o'clock or a prime time show, for Christ's sake. And get out of it. Fuck. Yeah, I think it was Dre.
It's
Drake.
A TNA time spot.
Yeah, it was Dre or Travis. And I understood the reason why they weren't doing it. Because they're not getting any money, so they're not going to, maybe some problem with it. But anyways, if they're giving what they get, if you want, let's just leave it at that. So he's like, so as soon as that changes, then maybe we can afford to do this stuff. Because I don't know the prices either, so it could be pretty fucking expensive. But
oh yeah,
it's like they were the first piece of the Pro Wrestling Torch Affirmative Action Initiative. Well, let's not undercut them. Let's keep feeding the money and getting them going, because the show's gotten way better. Their first time out was right on par with our first time out, except theirs sounded better. So
that's right.
So I'm glad we're advertising somebody else's site. So, but all right. Well, I think we've talked long enough. We should probably go.
Where am I gonna go though? I ain't got no place else to go.
Yeah. I don't know. I gotta try to figure out why Elisa's car won't shift in the gear. So.
God, everything is falling apart for you. The car,
the telephone. In the car, wow. That's what you get when you drive a 15-year-old car, too, so.
Well.
I think we're going to have to work on that, so.
Yeah.
All right, pal. Well, listen, I'm going to go. I hope everyone enjoyed the Christmas Eve edition of the audio experience. Everyone have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Hanukkah's over, right? So
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, Hanukkah's early, so this year it's just Christmas. But everyone in the system saying Happy Holidays, because apparently nobody can just correct you.
Right.
Or just go, if you say something to somebody, hey, Merry Christmas. Well, I don't celebrate. Fuck you. Okay, fine, whatever. I'm trying to be nice.
I really don't care what you celebrate. I just want you to have, a good time, And I don't even want that, really. I'm just saying it. So why can't you just, take it?
Yeah. Exactly. I don't know, man. They're being down here. And, all right, first, I honestly start to question why I'm on Facebook after. I don't know we were going to wrap the show up, but whatever.
Whatever.
I honestly question why I'm on Facebook half the time. Because people post these dumbass things, and I try to keep it to people I actually know, so I don't have a lot of friends on there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have, like, 800 friends like some people do. You don't know 800 people, faggot. Shut up. And so these people get on there, and they're like, just remember, the reason we celebrate Christmas is Jesus, the birth of Jesus. Oh, fuck. Yes. Everyone knows the history behind it. Why are you beating us over the head with this shit?
Right.
And then somebody else posted, you know, I went into, this was on one of the Greenville forums. I try to keep up with what's going on around here.
Okay.
And someone walked, and I'm going to predicate this with, I don't believe this person actually did this. But they said, well, I went into Trader Joe's the other day, and I only saw three signs, and all of them only said, Merry Christmas, or Happy Holidays. So I went up to the person that worked there. I went to the person that worked there and said, excuse me, where are your Christmas decorations? And the guy's like, and apparently she was like, I'm sorry. I said, I see all these signs that say holidays, but I don't see anything that says Christmas. And that's where that guy should have turned to me and goes, go fuck yourself.
Right.
I get paid nothing for working here. My manager doesn't get paid shit for working here. So here's what you can do. See the door, get the fuck out and shut up.
Because the other way, if you had Merry Christmas signs, you'd have Jewish people going, well, why couldn't you just said Happy Holidays? So you're not going
you know
to
them?
Anyone.
Go fuck yourself, Jew.
Everyone can go fuck themselves is basically
the
bottom line here. And that's a great way to end the Christmas Eve edition of our audio show.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
Oh, all right. So, yeah, so I have... So Merry Christmas. Go fuck yourself. We'll talk to you probably in the new year. I don't know if we're going to... Oh, yeah. I don't know what our schedule's going to be like. I just saw that. So... All right. Well, if there's an audio posted next week, then we got the time to do one. So if not, enjoy Christmas. Enjoy New Year's if you celebrate that. And we'll talk to you next time. I'm out of here.
All right. For Jeremy Mays, for... Woody from Nashville. This is Dusty Ewing. This has been an edition of the Stunt Granny Experience, and we'll try to do better next time.
Over swing.